Because what's the point? If they can't hear the word of God, you know, unto you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unto them it is not given. And in the church, the same thing. If there are people in the church, and there always are, little birds, who are not part of it, but making their little nest, and they can't hear the truth, you reject them. But it seems to me a very presumptive thing to do when people do this to each other. And it's also kind of cruel. This is a very serious matter. And when people do it to each other, like online and stuff, I always feel like, we're just talking. It's like, you didn't come to my house. You didn't come and sit down in my kitchen. And what are they preaching? That men should repent. Sodom and Gomorrah. No one even told them they should repent. That's why it should be more tolerable for them, because they did not receive a preaching. Repent. You know, no preacher came to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for its wickedness because God absolutely has the right to destroy the wicked without warning, without saying, if you don't repent, I'm going to destroy you. He can destroy them as they are, and we are all worthy of it. God doesn't owe us a warning. He made us without warning. He doesn't need to unmake us with warning. And they cast out devils. They anointed with oil many that were sick. What's that oil? Is that magical oil? It was a common practice. When people were sick, they would put oil on them. As part, remember, Christ means anointed. An anointing was given to kings, and they would anoint the sick. And he talked about when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. You know, anointing was all about whether you anoint yourself. You know, the importance of being Messiah was that he was God's anointed, the one whom God had smeared with oil as a special sign. Because they would anoint the kings, and he was anointed as king, priest, something special, marked out. And they would anoint the sick in the same way. With a little oil. And they healed them. But it wasn't the oil that heals, you know. Obviously, it's the power of God through Christ. It's like, well, we should have tried this sooner. This oil is something else. No, it was common practice. The sick would be anointed. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, right? And he thought it was John the Baptist. Risen from the dead. It's an interesting conclusion. Because there was a great similarity in the message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Another one of these anti-sin guys come along. And this time with miracles, because John did no miracle. But all things that John spoke of Jesus were true. So John being like this forerunner of Christ, the continuation of the continuity of the ministries to Herod seemed almost seamless, to where he thought it's John the Baptist risen from the dead, because he had not really been willing to put John the Baptist to death. You know, because I'll tell you what, even the most wicked men sometimes can be superstitious. Suddenly have thoughts, what about God? You know, because their conscience is still somewhere back there convicting them of their wicked deeds. And Herod's a wicked man. He took his brother's wife for his own wife. Because Herod was a wicked man. Verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him. But she could not. It wasn't in her power. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. This verse is a little bit oddly translated, so whenever I come across something like this, I like to nip it in the bud immediately. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and he observed him. You know, he watched him. He kept him from Herodias. He kind of kept him under observation and watched over him, make sure that she wouldn't destroy him. And when he heard him, he did many things. It means he was hesitant. He didn't know. He was perplexed. He didn't know what to do. This is due to a difference in two Greek words, epori and epoi. So there could have been a little, one of those copyist errors. The idea is that he didn't know what to do. And yet he heard him gladly. There was something, it's funny. It's just like the seed planted in rocky soil. It springs, hearing the message, you can kind of feel like, yeah, or among thorns. It can begin to spring up among the thorns when all the plants are small, but then when they come up, eventually they choke it out. You know, he had a superstition. He kind of feared this man of God because John was a holy man, and he knew this. He saw this guy, a holy man, preaching these in righteousness and all this, and he thought, I don't want to do anything bad to him. Because one thing, if he's right, I'm in trouble. And if he's right and I hurt him, I'm going to be even more trouble. It's safer to just keep him. Don't let him cause too much trouble with man. Don't let him cause too much trouble with God. Meaning that if I let him keep talking, I'm going to have men who are not pleased with me. Because John was not a popular figure among certain circles. Like his wife. And the scribes and Pharisees. Remember in Matthew, the early chapters, chapter 3 especially, we had looked at John's dealing with the scribes and Pharisees. And therefore, if he keeps talking, he's going to grieve me with men. But if I shut him up permanently, I risk the wrath of God coming down on me, and I don't want that either. So he was sort of at a loss what to do, because he feared men and he feared God. What a double-mindedness that is very common for men. But they fear God and they fear man. They have a superstitious fear of God, meaning they don't want to. Yeah, I know, guys. They'll say, "Oh, Jesus," in front of their buddies, but then on the other hand, they won't say anything really nasty about Jesus. They won't start mocking the idea of Christianity. But on the other hand, they don't want to be seem like an oddball to their friends, so they're sort of like neutral. And they live a sinful life. They don't want to be bothered by preachers, and they don't want to be bothered by men. They want to just go along to get along. And sometimes that works out fine for those people, and they live and die their pathetic lives as they would have them lived. But sometimes they get caught, like Herod, and they're forced to make a choice. Verse 21, "And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee."